Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
I think it's fair to say it has been an incredible 24 hours or so in the US's history and electoral history for sure and political history. The US Congress finally confirmed President-elect Joe Biden's victory in the early hours of this morning. However, the fallout from the storming of Capitol Hill by Trump supporters continues. Four people died during the protests. One woman was shot and later died, while three others died as a result of medical emergencies. I'm joined now by Mick Mulvaney, who has just resigned from the Trump administration as special envoy to Northern Ireland. Mick Mulvaney, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me.
Why did you resign?
Because good people cannot be associated with what happened yesterday in Washington, D.C. We have a long and proud history in this country of peaceful protests, of associations, of rallies, of parades. But what you saw yesterday was so outside the bounds, outside the pale, so historically violative of what we hold important in this country, that a lot of us have talked about what messages we can send of disapproval. I was only going to be the special envoy for another 2 weeks. I know that because diplomats typically resign at the end of a term anyway. But it's the one thing I still had and one link I still had to the administration, and I can't do it. You can't lend your name in any way, shape, or form to what happened yesterday.
And you rang Mike Pompeo to let him know. What did you say to him? What did he say to you?
Yeah, Mike and I are good friends. Mike and I served in Congress together. We came in together in 2010 and sat next to each other a lot and have a good relationship. I'm not gonna share that private conversation, but I think everybody in the administration is just stunned at what happened yesterday and looking for ways to deal with it. There's a sense of shame. There's a sense of embarrassment. There's a sense of anger. It is a really, really strange time to be working in an administration.
You said everyone in the administration is stunned and you feel shame and embarrassment and anger. Really, everyone? Is Donald Trump all of those things?
No, everybody I've talked to. So, no, it's a fair point. I've not talked to the president. I try not to talk to the president anyway. It's not wholly appropriate for a former chief of staff to have regular communications with the president when there's a new chief of staff. That would be a violation of our protocol. So I've not talked to him. And Mark Meadows, the current chief of staff and a friend of mine, has not returned my call. So, no, you're right. I overspoke when I said everybody feels a sense of shame and embarrassment. But certainly the folks I've talked to, mm-hmm. Who were folks who didn't sign up for this. We signed up for economic opportunity and economic growth and no wars overseas. And we got all of that. They made some tremendous successes in 4 years, but all of that went away yesterday.
Now, we may get more resignations like yourself, outlining reasons like you are now. But I heard you in an interview earlier on today on a U.S. network, and you said that I've talked to some other colleagues who may choose to stay, and you outlined why. And this is interesting. Why do you think some people may, for the next 2 weeks, stay the course?
Because they're afraid of who the president would put in the event those folks left. Keep in mind, I think one of the reasons you saw what happened yesterday was a breakdown in the way the West Wing, which is the White House office complex, functions. The president has surrounded himself with people who are not giving him good information. They're encouraging him to do things that he shouldn't be doing. It's a breakdown of the proper functioning of the administration. And I think folks see that and say, look, if I resign from this cabinet secretary position or I resign from this other important post and he puts somebody in who will do anything that he asks, that might not be the best thing for the country right now.
Mm-hmm. You said you're stunned by what happened yesterday. And this question is certainly, can I say this respectfully to you, this is certainly not a gotcha question in any way, shape or form, because I don't think many people would have foreseen what happened yesterday. But I spoke to you shortly after the vote in November last, and I asked you when Donald Trump was saying that he wasn't accepting the outcome as we knew it then in the early stages, and he was calling it a rigged election. I think I asked you, is this a beginning of a coup, which you rejected out of hand? And what it was reasonable, possibly, you could argue at that stage to do so. Was yesterday an attempted coup?
Yes. It was. It was an insurrection. It was apparently an armed insurrection. I've heard stories of, I haven't confirmed them, of shots being fired and so forth. This was exactly what you asked me about on November. And I gave you the right answer on election night, because challenging an election, questioning whether or not it was accurately done and properly conducted, that's ordinary course of business for us. I pointed out in our interview, there are hundreds of lawyers in this country who practice nothing but election law. It's a specialty, because our elections are always challenged in some fashion. That does not constitute a coup. Mm-hmm. When you tell people to go down and stop the constitutional process, and that's what that was yesterday, the certification of Joe Biden as the incoming president is part of our constitutional process, that rises to a much different level. I'm not saying the president tried to conduct a coup. There's you could make the argument that he didn't explicitly tell the folks to do that. But the folks who marched on the Capitol yesterday did so for the purpose of trying to interrupt the constitutional functioning of our government, which the last time I checked is probably as good a definition of a coup as anything.
But they were, for the last number of weeks, certainly, and for the last number of months and years, arguably, these people who attacked democracy in the United States yesterday, they were incited by Donald Trump, weren't they?
You know, I think it's going to take some time for me to digest exactly what the president's role is. I didn't see the speech, by the way, because I never thought anything would come of it. The president's given speeches to rallies all of the time. But the thing that I've been contemplating the last 24 hours is, you know, if the president had walked in to my office with my team just 8 months ago and said, look, I want us to do something illegal, he wouldn't have done that, and he never did that. But if he'd done, we all would have said no. And what stuns me is there were people who actually decided that they were at such a point that they wanted to rise up violently against their own government and occupy the Capitol building. I didn't think that was possible. We deal with rhetoric all the time. Nancy Pelosi uses high rhetoric. Maxine Waters
With respect, there is a big difference, Mick Mulvaney, isn't there? I mean, Proud Boys stand by. I mean, this goes back to Lock Her Up 4 years ago. It goes back to stoking racial tensions, attacking the free press.
But one of my points is that one of the reasons we don't react like that, as folks might do overseas, is that high rhetoric like that is part of our political discourse. Turning it into action is something else entirely, especially for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, especially for us as the Republican Party, which is the party we don't riot. We don't.
I think this maybe goes to the nub of the issue for the Republican Party. Do you see what Donald Trump was saying for the past 4 years and for the past 4 weeks as part of our public and political discourse? Do you see that as a normal part of political discourse in the U.S.?
To a certain extent, yes. I mean, let me put you this way. The last 6 to 8 weeks since the election has been different. It just has been. Again, challenging the outcome of an election is that's not unusual. That would not raise a red flag. And none of it would ever lead any of us to believe that it would ultimately lead to what you saw yesterday. You know, you roll your eyes and say, okay, he's challenging this. This is absurd. He's lost all of the lawsuits. They didn't do the work necessary to bring a lawsuit. Didn't do the work necessary to protect their interest in the election. But it's all going to go away on January 20th, and he's going to leave peacefully. I wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal here a month ago saying that I thought the president would leave peacefully, because I did, because everything I saw when I was working with him every day in the office led me to believe that he would bluster and yell and scream and fight, but at the end of the day, he would do the right thing and leave peacefully. I was clearly wrong about that.
And that's
what's got me scratching my head and introspecting today.
You're saying there was nobody in the Republican Party that foresaw the damage inflicted on American democracy and society by stoking racists and stoking people on the margins and preying on those who are vulnerable economically or socially or in any other way, preying on them politically. There wasn't a danger there that this could happen?
Now, I reject some of the premise about how he was stoking racism. That's that nothing could be. I mean, I just disagree with that.
Again,
I think a lot of what you saw about what you saw at Charlottesville portrayed in the media was not exactly what the president said. I won't go into it, but let's get to your larger point, okay? Which is that none of us none of us thought the democracy was so fragile as to allow what happened yesterday. Even taking all of your assumptions as true, which I don't, but even if we take them as true, none of us thought that democracy was to the point where the people would do what they did yesterday, especially our people, especially conservatives generally, much more pro-law enforcement, much more anti-riot. That's what I think is as stunning to many of us as the president's role in all of this. It's what's happening in our country that will allow this to happen.
Can I ask you a very practical question? I don't know, by the way, Mick Mulvaney, where you were yesterday. Were you on Capitol Hill, first of all?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because you don't know the answer to the question, but I was in the building early in the day. Left for lunch and then decided just not to go back because it was too much of a hassle. So I watched it on television from my condo in D.C.
Do you know how these protesters or those involved in the attempted coup gained entry into the Congress building so easily? I mean, they were just walking through the barriers. There's seemingly no police to stop them.
Yeah, which is stunning to me because, I was there early in the morning and I had difficulty getting in. As a former member of Congress who has the privileges of the building for the rest of my life, and as a former chief of staff to the president, it took me 20 minutes to get in. So I'm not sure what happened, other than I just think, if anything, the Capitol Police were unwilling to use extreme physical force to stop this larger group of people. But I certainly think you're going to see dramatic changes in the security in that building and in the public access to the building, which is sad because since all of us were little kids, all the school children in this country go to Washington, D.C. to go see this building from the inside. And my fear is that one of the many, many repercussions of yesterday is that that's going to be a thing of the past.
Let me bring you some breaking news. It is for us. Maybe you have heard this, that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer calls for the invoking of the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump, and if not, immediately impeach him. What's your reaction there?
Just to be technical, I don't think Chuck is the majority leader because I think it's a 50-50 split. So I don't know what the titles are on this point. But you're right. He's leading at least half of the Senate.
Yeah.
But to your point, the substance of your question doesn't surprise me. Everything is going to be on the table, including the 25th Amendment, including impeachment, because what you saw yesterday has no parallel, has no precedent. So you're going to see unprecedented reactions to yesterday's action. Does not surprise me at all. In fact, quite frankly, I'm surprised Congress left town without raising the issue today.
Can I finally ask you before I let you go, are you now ashamed that you've served under Donald Trump?
No, you know, there's a sense of shame is to be involved in any fashion, but I'm very proud of the work that I did. When I was in the government, we had a tremendous track record as a conservative Republican that you can look back on so much. What I'm really saddened about, one of the many things I'm saddened about, is that all that's gone. All of that's out the window. All of the accomplishments that we had. The legacy of Donald Trump is not going to be that more people in this country had a job than at any other time in our history under Donald Trump. That's not going to be the history. The history books will be he is the one who incited people to go down to try and overthrow the government. And that saddens me just as an American, but also as somebody who was in the administration.
Before I really let you go this time, Mick Mulvaney, we have around 14 days left in this presidency. Is he or are they, the protesters, liable to try anything else?
I don't think so. He put out a tweet overnight that said that he will leave peacefully on the 20th. He'll continue to challenge the results of the election. That's, you know, he's going to say that. But I think most folks, again, we never saw yesterday coming. So at this point, anything is possible. But I think most folks are not only believing, hoping that the next 14 days is quiet, but they believe that it will be.
Okay. Mick Mulvaney, I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.